Press that button. We're recording. We're recording the episode rolling, of the show rolling, that we're rolling. On right now.
Talking.
Rolling.
Okay.
Air Raid Remix, right? Is that it? No, yeah.
Rolling.
It was the Air Raid Remix.
What was the Air Raid Remix?
Of Roland. That's the one that they did the video at the Twin Towers for, right? Yeah. That's what it's called.
Welcome to the Chapo Trap House episode for Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, yes.
We will be talking about the Air Raid Siren Remix.
Of Roland.
The only version of Roland that replaces all the original backing vocal tracks with Air Raid Sirens to satisfy people who are in the Air Raid Siren community, who have been tracking the evolution of sound efficiency, range, and something that they call coning, an audio phenomenon only existing in Air Raid Sirens.
You know, Air Raid Sirens, as far as autistic fixations go, are one of the more interesting ones to me, and one I could imagine getting into, because the classic Air Raid Siren, it's an analog instrument. It's not, it is.
You can like crank it with
a crank. Like,
it's a crank.
You just pull a crank and it makes this hugely loud noise. How does it do that? What's going on? How does it do that? I don't know. I would like to find out.
Well, it's everyone knows about Dybbuks and Golems. Those are the two basic Jewish monsters and creatures of lore.
That's true.
This is Felix's new interest.
Yeah.
So we're launching a new Felix interest this week. It's Jewish folklore.
I've always been into this.
Is this a slippery slope, though? Are we gonna have a bar mitzvah when you turn 33?
No. I did a different thing. There's actually a lot of lore about this. Dybbuks... Well, like, there is a Yu-Gi-Oh! Type thing that happens between all the factions of Jews. And, of course, the Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox, they get the Golem. So that's the oldest one. Reform Jews, who are more typically represented in finance, media, and, you know, like, the college professions, right? We're in those. We get the Dybbuk. It's a more complicated monster. What do you get if you're a conservative Jew, which is sort of, like, in the middle, you know? Oftentimes you can have an email job if you're a conservative Jew, but sometimes it's like, I work for a nonprofit called the Jewish Judaism Center, you know?
You wear a yarmulke, but not to the beach.
No. Yeah. Yeah. They get the Mentaculus, and there's a variety of monsters that you can cast out of there. So they're sort of a hybrid class.
Yeah, it's the Necronomicon of Judaism.
Yeah. And we've been doing, there are underground monster duels between all the factions of Judaism. And the Reform have been the strongest. The Dybbuk is a very strong monster. But there's a fourth monster. And it's just a little guy. And he's the guy in the Air Raid Siren. And when you crank the handle, it grinds up like little treats for him. And if he gets enough crumbs, he'll make the Air Raid noise. And there are several different types of this little guy. That's why all of them sound different.
The Dybbuk is a good battle monster because for the damage it deals out, it restores HP on itself.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a siphon effect.
Yes.
It's very good. You clearly grew up on the Upper West Side. Familiar with these battles that go on.
Yeah, this is not IP that I grew up with at all.
I'm not familiar with this IP.
Yeah. There were none of these in Manitowoc.
No, Manitowoc, nuh-uh. No Dybbuks
to be found. The Golem's a classic strength build, but it's not very versatile.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you get a really good Golem can beat an average Dybbuk, but, like, if the average Dybbuk has a very good trainer, the Dybbuk's probably going to win.
Yep.
That's just obvious.
Oh, welcome friends. It's Monday, October 10th. Start things off, I'll say thanks again to everyone who came out to our LA show. It was a triumph.
Wonderful.
Thanks to LA Witch, Tim Heidecker, and candidate Hugo Soto Martinez. We gave him his biggest office. No, sorry, his biggest audience.
Well,
it was his biggest office in a way. His biggest audience about a month before Election Day. So,
well, I mean, I'm sure that was good fun for him, but it's not. I don't think it's been anywhere near as fun as the last couple of hours have been. The last
the LA
day and
City
a half.
Council
oh
is killing it.
God.
Wow,
that was like literally like 10 hours after our show.
Yeah. And the recordings are 10 hours of unedited racism.
Those recordings are awesome. They're so good. I like how often on those recordings there are like, it's like classic filmmaking. There's so many times where it's like, you're like, oh, are they on the verge of saying something really awful? And then they just jump right in. They're like, oh, his kid's a monkey. It's like, oh, holy shit.
They said Mike Bonin's kid is being raised like a
like a white kid. You can't do that with black kids. That was the implication.
Yeah. And then Matt, as you said, they're really stepping in it because they were going after Armenians in L.A. They said one guy has one eyebrow and it's like,
I don't know what his name was. Let me guess. It ends with IAN.
I listened.
They do be loving that, I have to say, the Armenians.
Yeah, they love. Yeah, no, they're not giving that up. I did listen to the Armenian tape, obviously, and they were actually, that was one of the few tapes where like they liked the guy they were talking about.
But they still had to pitch.
Well, they still had to like make fun of him for being Armenian, but like they were talking about, you know, the guy on the tape with the nasal voice, I forget what his name is because I've blocked everyone who's tried to tell me about local politics. I'm not finding out. The guy who like, when the Kevin De Leon and Nuri, whatever, when they're trying to be racist, he's always trying to steer it back. He's like, yeah, but like the gerrymandering we have to do.
Enough of this racism. We got to fix these elections.
He's like, guys, this is really funny, but we have to do election fraud.
We have to gerrymander Nithya Raman's district out of existence. So we don't deal with her anymore.
So he was like, he was talking about how like, you know, some like LA politics scumbag has helped him out in the past and how they like this guy. And they're all like, yeah, we like this Armenian guy, but his eyebrows are ugly. He's Armenian.
Eyebrow.
Yeah, his eyebrow.
It's always so comforting when stuff like this happens because it lets you know that at least at a certain level, it's exactly what you think it is. Like, you're not really learning anything. That's the funny part when this stuff happens. Like, oh, what are they doing? Being racist and doing corruption? Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. Not any more complicated than that.
Yeah, it shows that Veep in some ways is like still idealistic because it shows these people as like more clever than they actually would be.
And exactly. And it's like they're doing the Veep stuff, but with none of the snappy zingers and shit.
But they're also just being straight up racist. Like on Veep, they were verbally abusive and the creativity of the writing was like how to go with a way other than just someone's ethnicity.
Yeah, they're way too likable.
Because frankly, folks, that's the lazy track.
Yeah.
That's what the mediocre mind does. And these are the most mediocre minds on earth. And that is why a show like Veep is kind of propaganda for the regime. And the reason that Joe Biden liked it is because, yeah, you're showing them as vacuous and evil, but also look how clever they are. Look how funny they are and how attractive they are relative to Selena Meyer.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus is like, has gotten comprehensively hotter the older she's gotten. And I'm saying like Elaine, all-time dime. Selena Meyer, boy.
I think part of that boils down to us getting farther away from 90s fashion.
I think that was a big thing
that hurt Elaine, her giant, the hair. But who just knows? As we say, culture is snapping back. We'll get to the 90s if we haven't already, and maybe we'll look back and be like, damn, Elaine was fire in that fit.
Think of Selena Meyer's body count, though. She was a hot slut on that show. Hugh Laurie. John Slattery, Chris Maloney. Those are just the three that come to mind.
She fucks Dan.
Yeah, that's true. She does. And then fires him the next day.
Yeah.
The Mohammed bin Sultan guy.
What a babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reality, they're not even that good. They're not even that interesting.
I don't think it's. I think Joe Biden liked it because he's stupid. I think like that's not. He didn't go like, you know, I'm going to internalize all the bad things I've ever done. He's just like saw a show and like got one third of the jokes and was like, oh, hey, I've done that job. Ha ha. I don't think I like that show too much to call it regime propaganda.
It's great. And it is also regime propaganda. I don't think he can separate the two.
Frankly. Okay. If that's regime propaganda, then like everything is.
Well, there you go. Boom.
Okay, well, welcome I mean, to the Adorno hole. That's one way of looking at things, I guess.
Welcome to the Adorno hole.
Yeah.
You've been Adorno hole.
Yeah.
It's all fascism.
Yeah.
Damn. But that's the thing. Because that's true, I can evaluate it on a completely separate axis. Is it funny and do I enjoy it? Yes and yes, it's good.
Is Terminator 2 propaganda?
I mean, Cameron's always interesting, but like at a certain point, anything that's that big and that you all, you know, it's all gets knitted into a narrative of like reassurance that the system you live in is in some way just because it produces it.
Yeah. What's the least propagandistic film? Is it like a Uwe Boll film? Like, is it like the Postal movie where there's just like no plot and he's like, oh, here's a new character I invented, a guy who rapes his dad.
I mean, have you seen Assault on Wall Street by Uwe Boll, by the way?
Wait, what?
Have you ever seen Assault on Wall Street by Uwe Boll?
Yes.
Or the not the first one, but the sequel to Rampage, where he takes hostages at a TV station?
No.
Uwe Boll, after the 08 crash, decided, like, I'm going to basically be like if Ted Kaczynski made movies. And he makes, and that's like literally a guy like just reciting statistics about, you know, about like who made money off after the financial collapse, and then just shooting a room full of bankers. As I said, it is like, and yet it has incited no copycat shootings. For some reason, that never sparks a flame in the real world, is the media present.
Because
the address
because
of the corporate headquarters of Oxford United Healthcare is.
Well, yeah, because like the type of person who commits murders in America is always like stupid.
Yeah,
that's really like that's like if you look at like murders in other countries, it's always like a fucked up guy who is like of at least average intelligence, like the German guy who.
Dude, most suicide bombers have advanced engineering degrees.
Yeah, whereas in America, it's usually guys who like we talked about how like most murders are just like a guy killing his wife because he can't figure out who gets what Blu-rays. But that's like most murderers in America. And even when like they have been abused and their life has been ruined by like powers beyond them that you think they could understand, like health insurance or like their job or something, they're like, oh, I'm going to kill like just nine versions of me.
Well, that's just it, is that murder is an intimate act. And people who are going to respond to the horrors of their life violently are going to want to do it, as you said, because they're stupid intimately, because they can't, they're not going to be able to attach like real visceral emotionality to some abstract enemy. It's got to be somebody who triggers something deeper in them, which is why they love doing it for racist reasons, for example.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, what is the least intimate industrialized country on Earth? It's Japan. Mm-hmm. The only country where they actually killed like a guy that
exactly, because it all gets concentrated into one guy who's like, who needs to die for this, and correctly recognizes. it's the puppet master of the deep state, like NATO, propaganda do lodge that runs this fucking country.
Yeah,
you know, the fucking, and I'm gonna commit my will not to buying an AR-15 on the internet with a credit card I'm not gonna pay back. Instead, I'm going to build a fucking science fair volcano myself to blow this asshole away. And then what happens? He actually gets like a change at a meaningful level. Whereas what do? Just a bunch of dumbasses who order. I want to satisfy all of my my deepest failures and express all my pain by just having them Amazon send me a gun in the mail so I could just shoot somebody who triggers like the deepest thing, and like the real bad guys in this country are never going to trigger those because you have no intimate relations with these people. They live behind the fucking behind the walls, and they live like geographically right amongst us, but because of the huge technological wall that money presents, might as well be in a different dimension from us.
Behind the green door, that's where they live. Behind the green door.
The only way that like any executive will be killed in America, any like real executive, not for like a vitamin company, you know, that doesn't count, but like a real executive who makes like 7 to 8 figures is for like, you know, making a woke TV show, like a woke children's TV show on Disney
Plus. For being a groomer. That's it. Totally accidentally.
Well, this is a good segue because we got to talk, you know, like this is the story that's burning up the news right now. We've got to talk about the all-star week that Mr. Kanye West has been having. So it began with a Tucker Carlson interview. A two-part Tucker Carlson interview.
Well, it began, I believe, with his fashion line unveiled with a bunch of shirts that said White Lives Matter.
Yeah, he was at Paris Fashion Week with Candace Owens, and they were both wearing Kanye-branded t-shirts that said White Lives Matter.
And I don't think, like, I think only Gigi Hadid was shocked by this. I think the only way you can be shocked by this after like the last 6 years is if you eat 300 calories a day.
But yeah, like that. When I first saw them, the clips from the Tucker Carlson interview were hilarious to me because it was just like I was trying to imagine what the Tucker Carlson audience would be getting out of Kanye talking about.
You know, everyone's like, Anna Wintour's your friend. I'm like, this Gabby girl. and Gigi and these people, they would have never said anything negative unless they got the okay from Condé Nast, unless they got the okay from Anna.
Balenciaga is not a real fashion house. Anna Wintour didn't like my boots. She was very mean to me. But then I realized, I was like, this is gibberish. And this is gibberish to me, let alone the fucking Meemaws and Pep-Peps watching this. But then I realized, Matt, you correctly pointed out, that like, thanks to Trump, like all that audience Patty, now has totally imbibed all of, who they know who Anna Wintour is because of Trump
and the register of like catty media gossip is now one that they have wired into their greater like you know political ideology their oppression and resentment matrix. It's all now wired into these totems because Trump taught them how to do it. And so yeah, they're like absolutely, Mr. West. Anna Wintour, she's very two faced. She was so mean to our president. She wouldn't put Melania on the cover of Vogue. That was a thing. That was a thing.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Did you see the? There was a reply to that video. Someone was saying like, "What is a Fox News viewer getting out of this?" And it was just like you know one of those like you know conservative middle aged men with like a big square torso, who's just like wearing like a long sleeve polo shirt tucked in, like just maximizing how shitty he can look. And he was like, all I see is an independent, intelligent leader of blacks. It's like very well said.
I think you hit the nail on the head with the Tucker interview where you said he stole Trump's whole flow.
Yeah, no.
And like
that's the thing. This is the next stage of Trumpism. That's what I realized. Plenty of people have probably pointed this out before, and if they have, they're correct. But and I'm sorry I'm late to the party, but just seeing this whole thing play out and seeing the way that his words provoke the media response and then the way people respond to that response, you see exactly what happened when Trump just decided to fucking cannonball his ass into political discourse when he started with the birther stuff. It's the exact same trajectory. He says something outrageous that pushes liberal sensibilities, that gets a pushback from the unified mainstream media, which is not some conspiracy, but is just a bunch of liberals acting like liberals. And then the response from the alienated Republicans and conservatives seeing how the liberals act and deciding this guy must be onto something, which pushes him further in the direction of saying what they want to hear. Yeah. I mean, he's the next one. And if Trump is this celebrityification of politics, none of the Republicans can match him completely. Like we talked about DeSantis. DeSantis is all of that minus the thing that made it work. It's all of the grievances turned into policy, but without the face. Where's the face? And without Trump, there's nobody to come after him. And it's like, it's Kanye. He is the one.
Yeah. So in the Tucker interview, he said that he will be president one day.
And I'd be like, yes, I'm like, honestly, I think you're right.
I'm taking him at his word here. And like, Matt, you and I were talking about this last night, and it hit us like a bolt because for years, like, we've been wondering what comes after Trump. Because like, he changed the game, but like, the pretenders to the throne, you have to already be famous.
Yes.
And the thing about Kanye is that he's mega, mega famous.
Hugely famous.
He's hugely famous. He has the same affect as Trump in that he's like what interests him and excites him are the same things that Trump is interested in, which is fashion and media. And he also has
from a point of view of total like black hole narcissism. Like, that's very key to it.
Yeah.
All of this is generated by a mind devoted to the self completely.
He has the same, like you said, catty, kind of like asexual sort of like vibe to him. Yep. Like, it's just, okay, but like now, like the Tucker interview was good enough, but like he kicked it off into the stratosphere with the Instagram post. And I guess the question is, does Kanye have the potential to be the Black Hitler? Because he's going DEFCON 3 on the Jewish people.
Jewish people!
Tough to say, right? Because it's like, you know, we've talked about this, how like the January 6th people are like a poor stand-in for the Freikorps, who are just, you know, World War One veterans who are already dead.
Yeah.
So I guess in this, like, best possible conditions for Kanye being Hitler are that he has his own Freikorps, but that's like hip-hop forum posters.
Yeah.
Who also, they're not a very good Freikorps. Yeah. So I don't...
The uniforms all include those insane, goofy, giant black boots that you can't even, like...
Yeah.
Try running in those. Try running in one of those pairs of fucking shoes.
Well, his Holocaust, like, he would do it his way, where he would, like, rent out a stadium and make, like, a replica of his mom's house and then, like, make Marilyn Manson play a Jewish guy. And there'd be a whole ceremony where he tries to make, like, Kim come back for, like, a fake renewal of vows, and they'll kill Jews at a rate of like 3 per day.
Yeah.
They're never going to get into the millions. No,
I mean, like, his attention spans a little
Black
too
Hitler, like, actual Black Hitler, probably not. American context isn't the same. But the next conservative figurehead of, like, the next figurehead of, like, conservative reaction turned into, like, a governing, a political coalition. And I think that's possible. Now, the problem is, yes, he's super famous, but not famous among the old people who vote for Republicans. That's the big problem.
No, no, but
those people are dying
right now.
Rapidly.
And no, but he's fixing that right now, because I think what makes it such a powerful, like, heir to the mantle of Trumpism is that he's already mega famous, but he is taking these sort of anti-woke culture war stance, like the White Lives Matter.
That's going to get buy-in from older people.
But like, crucially, he is doing it from someone who is on the media entertainment side of the cultural divide. He's conquered the realm of music, fashion, like, entertainment. So he is from the inside of the house making the call to the MAGA meemaws and pep-peps, and telling them that everything that they think is true.
Okay, I got one for you. Was it the right thing to do, or the exact catastrophically wrong thing to do, for Trump to put Kanye on the ticket if he gets the nomination?
I think that, like,
I don't think the two of them could work together.
No, they can't because there would be instantly a falling out.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think, like, okay, what is Kanye?
He would do that if he was interested in a political project, which he isn't.
Right, and Kanye's whole thing is, you know, you can tell that he's really mentally ill because he's so annoying. Like, his whole reason that he hates Drake in the first place is, like, you have to help me. You abandoned me. He says his new thing with Drake is, like, I thought you were my friend. Why weren't you doing anything when the Kardashians were kidnapping my children? And it's like, yeah, that sounds like a great thing to do, to, like, just fucking to insert himself into a custody battle with a crazy guy, to just go in and be like, I'm on this guy's side.
Like, you know, people speculated that Trump ran for president because Obama was very mean to him at the correspondence dinner. But this is the kindling that will stoke a great fire. And I think there's a good chance Kanye wants to run for president to punish the Kardashian family.
Yes.
Which I say, have at it. someone's got to discipline those phonies.
It's true. They're running wild.
Yeah, but I guess Drake would be, like, whatever Democrat's secret weapon.
Oh.
Because Drake really takes him out of his element.
He's Canadian, though. He can never be president.
Yeah, but he'll be, I don't know, he'll be like a Manchurian candidate. Drake really brings out the worst in people.
I'll tell you, if Kanye becomes president, goodbye Eurovan. That's all I know.
Yeah.
That's going to be the end of Armenia as a country. He's going to just, like, actually join, like, Turkey and Azerbaijan.
You know what the Kanye thing, there are so many parallels to Trump, but, like, you know, fit for his time and place in American culture and history. Trump's thing of being the best baseball player in New York, that's replaced by Kanye's maybe even funnier thing of claiming that he's a GD, claiming that he's, like, a notorious gang member in Chicago.
That is wild.
Hilarious.
I didn't know that.
You were in a room with a guy once. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, he's like, he claims he was, like, a GD growing up, and that's so he's funny. Like, he's rediscovered being a GD at, like, age 39
of course,
after his second kid was born. Awesome.
By the way, just as an aside, I know, you know, we've often said that there should be some sort of rule banning anybody who in journalism and punditry who is enthusiastically cheerleading the war in Iraq from ever talking about anything ever again because they've been disqualified. I would argue a similar rule should be applied to any cultural critic who spent the decade before the 2016 election insisting that Kanye is the greatest genius in human history.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. You're done. You were a dumbass. How am I supposed to trust you when you were looking at this? Because I'm sorry. It's not like, yes, obviously he was less, you know, cracked at that point. But just to look at what he was putting out, which is this monstrous performance of the self and saying, yes, this is politically meaningful. This is actually all politics is. You're done. Hit the showers. You blew it.
Your take on Kanye determines what you think about Black people. Your take on Kim determines what you think about women. Remember that?
So good.
Oh, God, there's so many tweets
that I would like to frame of people talking about Kanye West in, like, 2012.
Remember all the fucking shitty memes where it's like Kanye on the, as a communist icon.
Ooh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like the line of the line of communist leaders, and it ends with Kanye.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Oh Christ!
Well, I got an article.
Oh, I'm sorry. Last thing, a very annoying like pro Kanye person who I won't say their name. It's someone people would recognize in academic. The day that he and Kanye endorsed Trump, he very solemnly posted, "Wake up, Mr. West." One of the funniest things
and
could have done.
I have an article here about Kanye that I want to read in a second, but like I think another thing that makes this very powerful is that like it's very you cannot be a celebrity and this like the same formula does not work for the Democrats. Because like if Kanye were to try to do like, you know, become like a Biden guy or run for president as a Democrat, let's be honest, they would buck break him.
Oh yeah.
They would absolutely buck break him. Whereas like there's so much more purchase for being like a black guy who's speaking truth, you know, who's independent minded, like from the Republican side, like it's just the calculation is all there for him. If he can muster the attention span to do it.
Well, that's the real challenge. Is that everything like with he's younger than Trump, so that means that his you know, his he's livelier, he's more likely, he's touchier. Can he handle the rigors of like pulling himself, disciplining himself towards the goal of being president? And that's the challenge. But the path is there. Whether he can do it is another thing. All he has to do, and it's going to be within a few months, is just start putting everything together into a QAnon-style attack on culture,
yes,
celebrity, from within, from one who, yes, experienced it.
From one who has like, conquered the world of celebrity.
And it's like, I have seen them. I have watched them dance. I've seen them writing their name in the devil's book in the woods. And once he does that, he has the Republican Party base by their gonads, and he will lead them wherever the fuck he wants to take them.
He's got to be, of course. He's got to do an album of all proofs.
Yeah.
Instead of skits on a rap album, it's just proofs. It just drops.
If he like ran for president, his coalition would be so fucking weird, because it's okay. Like pretty much like no women, right?
That would be tough.
Yeah, that's a huge obstacle in his way.
But he would depolarize is the thing. He would racially depolarize.
Like, now you're talking about like this would.
So he would get a lot more men from different races. That wouldn't. He's going to get so many. How many white black guys is he going to get? How many Hispanic guys and white guys from the Democratic pool drawn to the specific cultural message of like being a guy and dealing with these fucking women and their Jewish people supporters.
How many? Yeah, can you win an election with like very few to no women?
Well, we'll find out.
Interesting experiment.
That's tough. All right. So I have an article here about the Kanye West mega weekend. This is from the Jewish Chronicle, courtesy of Dominic Green, who's a Wall Street Journal columnist. So, like, okay, before I start reading this article, which is, by the way, a defense of Kanye West in the Jewish Chronicle. Can you guess what musician this author will use as a negative contrast to Kanye West?
Roger Waters.
Ding! Ding.
How did I know?
Easy. That was a meatball right around the center of the plate.
Because I knew this guy was British. And for like British Jews, like Roger Waters is worse than Hitler. Like he is just their object of hate. They do not. I think he could be their most hated guy on the planet.
They really hate that guy.
Yeah, more than Corbin.
Because like, well, at this point, what other worlds are there to conquer? They've got everything tamed nicely. He is the only guy who is like famous enough and independently, you know, established enough in people's minds that they can't cancel his ass.
Yeah.
So that's why they're going crazy, because he's not a guy who they can spend money against he doesn't have to run in a primary to be the guy from Pink Floyd. So there's no way that they can upseat him that way. So they just have to yell at him and more until, I don't know, they're going to send the Mossad guys to kill him. Who knows?
Well, Roger's like 81. That's what's so funny about it. Just the constant campaign to like remind people he's bad.
Yeah.
All right. So this is Dominic Green writing in the Jewish Chronicle, headline, "Ye gods, give Kanye West a break. The road to rehabilitation is long, and if anyone can, Kanye can." Like, I just like, you know, the road to rehabilitation. Try to imagine if Roger Waters tweeted he's going DEFCON 3 on the Jewish people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also like, hasn't Kanye been on like a road to rehabilitation for like 15 years?
I'm sorry, but it just isn't it always like I'm better now.
Okay, so the article begins. A few years ago, I went to see the Rolling Stones. Keith Richards had lately had another near-death experience getting out of his tree, falling from a palm tree headfirst onto the beach. In fact, causing a cranial injury so severe that the doctors told him he could never take cocaine again. It seemed ominous, so I thought I'd see the Stones while the critical mass of them were still alive. The concert was at Foxborough, the giant stadium where the New England Patriots play. The support act was still on when we arrived, so we got as far away from the stage as we could. From the bleachers at the wrong end of the stadium, we could make out a little speck of a man running around on the stage and up and down the runway, waving his arms and shouting furiously. One of the things he kept shouting was his name, so eventually we realized we were listening to the rapper called Kanye West. This was before Kanye West became Mr. Kim Kardashian, and then apparently having mislaid some of his marbles, a brand called Ye, because as he explained it to the radio host Big Boy in 2018, I believe Ye is the most commonly used word in the Bible. And in the Bible, it means you. So it's I'm you. It's us. It's us.
Are you doing a bit there as him, or do you think that's how it's pronounced?
Ye?
Is it ye?
Yeah, in the Bible, it's ye, I think.
No, but Kanye, no, it's
yeah,
ye.
But he, yeah, but his no name, he calls himself
is it
Y-E.
Ye?
Is it ye?
Okay, Felix.
No, okay, but yeah. Kanye,
I thought it was ye.
No, yeah, well, when Kanye. Kanye, no, yeah, he's called ye.
I didn't know that.
So in the Bible, it's ye. Jesus, I don't know.
Yeah, because I thought it was Yeezy.
No, he's never called himself like ye.
I don't know. I literally have never seen it said. I've only seen it written down.
Same for every single word ever uttered.
I only hear people talk about Kanye. I've never heard him referred to whatever the hell that diminutive is.
Well, this is another reason why I think he might not be president. He changed his name to Ye and was like, everyone has to call me Ye, and no one did it.
Like, well, you know, Trump had his bankruptcies. You know, you always kind of overshoot your gas, but then you got to regroup.
But Trump's like not as annoying as him. Like I cannot stress enough how annoying.
Here's the thing, though: everyone is getting more annoying every day, and therefore more inured to each other's annoyingness.
No, opposite. No one is more tuned in to how annoying other people are and talks about it more than the most annoying people.
Right, but that's what draws them together: is that they all listen to each other complain about how everybody else is annoying.
I think if there was a sustained thing. Every day he's on TV for hours and it just like his interests don't like stick, you know, like obviously.
Well, that is true. Like Trump was able to create this like dog like relationship between like the way that dogs read human facial features. That's how he read like the crowd, like what they wanted to hear about. And so he found himself convincing himself that he cared about those things, too.
Right.
And Kanye doesn't, I think, have that kind of relationship with the audience yet. Because he's less needy, frankly. I mean, not in the same way Trump is. He doesn't need to, like, pander to them.
He's needier in a higher way.
Right.
Right. He needs to be... Trump is needy in an immediate way. Kanye is higher in a higher way where he has to be remembered as, like, a cultural figure than a historical figure.
Yeah. Because he believes in God, which Trump doesn't. I think
that's a difference. But it's always like a new thing, right? Like now it's Black Israelite stuff.
Yeah.
But before that, it's like, oh, education. We should teach kids how to like make shoes in school.
I'd like to know how to
make shoes.
And
then like prison stuff. That's something everyone says. And then when they actually do it,
but
it's like making bread.
If he does get people's if he gets people on his side, he can also, like Trump did, convince people to care about what he cares about. So it's a given flow, and I think that there is going to be some diffusion and some just brain warping to the point where they decide to themselves that they care about what he cares about.
But there has to be like a backing issue with Trump. Like, yeah, he's so important to his movement, obviously, him personally and his personality. But immigration hooked people so fucking hard.
But
it was the one issue that like every Republican in the base cared about, and they felt like that no one represented in DC and no one who could win the nomination ever talked about enough.
Okay, but now he has Hollywood sickos, and I think that'll be the next step, because it gets less and less, it gets more and more deterritorialized as time goes on. Because obviously immigration, you could say, oh, immigration is a crisis in America for X, Y, and Z reasons. But as a thing to vote about, it was totally detached from reality. It was just this ambient anxiety about being culturally unseated. This is now the even more abstracted version of that. It's like, oh, it's not the immigrants. It's the calls coming from inside the house. The enemy, just like Islam, it used to be Islamic terrorism. That's gone. Now the enemy is within, and Kanye is now identifying it.
Hollywood sickos, though, as something with, like, first of all, there was, like, electoral success around immigration hawkishness.
That's
like,
true.
On the state and senatorial level, like people like Tom Tancredo. But the Hollywood sickos thing is more diffuse, and there's no equivalent to, like, the wall that you can put there that becomes your signature policy to answer it.
It is harder to make it concrete, without promising explicitly to do the QAnon purges.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, the stuff you said was happening privately, we're going to do it publicly, and the system can't metabolize
that. Okay, Matt, I think if Kanye West found out that the three of us attended one of Virgil Abloh's Fashion Week after parties in New York City, there's a good chance he would start the purges.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's a tough one.
Continuing with the article, though, he writes, as with the Ye bit, the spellings are all original. Sadly, Ye is no longer us. Okay, here was the tweet. I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. I'm a bit sleepy tonight is such a funny way to that. He goes, and then he continues, the tweet continues, the funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew. Also, you guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who opposes your agenda. Felix, once again, I think you are also right that Kanye's black Israelite turn is way more interesting than all his weepy gospel Christian music.
Oh my God, yeah. No, all the God shit was so boring. It was just like, when people acted like it was this great cultural turn, it's like, yeah, I've never seen a crazy musician like decide that they're Christian now. I've never seen that.
Bob Dylan did that shit.
Yeah, they've all done it. But like,
but the black Israelites.
This is actually something.
I gotta say, shout out to the black Israelites, because when I was growing up in New York, they had, bar none, the best show on Channel 35 Public Access. It was the best talk show that's ever existed, because half of it was videos of them on the street screaming at people, mostly Hasidic Jewish people. And then the other half of the show was call-ins, where they would scream at people from a studio.
He should bring that show back. But okay, another unfulfilled, he didn't go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. He woke up. And it's like, you know, he's like, oh, they did cancel culture. That's DEFCON 3?
Well, remember, DEFCON 3 is only the middle defense condition between 1 and 5. So, I mean, I don't know where he was before. So maybe he went up to 3 from 2, in which case he's relaxing his feelings of hostility towards the Jewish people.
I think he got hit with a fucking trank dart.
It is funny because I kind of wonder if he realized, wait a minute, is 1 or 5 the bad one? And then he couldn't remember, so he just put, I'll be safe, I'll say the middle one.
That's smart.
This just seems like a thing he'll give up on. I'm sorry. As someone who's observed him, as someone who likes a lot of his music and is, you know, is familiar with the man, this seems like a thing in a year he'll be like, I didn't do that.
Well, it depends, though. It depends. It depends hugely on the response that he gets.
Yeah.
If there is a concerted effort to, like, drive him out of mainstream, like, celebrity, then he's got nowhere else to go at that point. And he kind of has to double down on it.
That's the only card he can play.
Yeah.
The reactions I've seen this morning from some of the people angry at Kanye, who have all taken to pointing out that Kanye has more Twitter followers than there are Jewish people in the world, they're not exactly making the best case for
seriously.
Them.
Seriously. Yeah,
okay. It's like, that's the thing. When you're chosen, there aren't a lot of you.
I mean, it's supply and demand, you know, the value, scarcity increases value. That's pretty common sense.
I read this thing about how they quantify that, and then there's like core Jews, that's like, I guess, both parents, but then there's stuff called like Jewish adjacent and like extended Jewish universe.
Oh, hell
no. I'm in the extended Jewish universe.
That's, you're in that. Yeah.
I think you're there if you have, if you've seen every Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Done. Done and done. No, like another example of that, what you're talking about, Felix, is my favorite sports columnist and rotund gentleman, Jason Whitlock. They were like, people were like, oh, he can't cross this line. And people were like, what line are you talking about? And he's like, the way non-religious Jewish people are control of the media, or like blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, classic anti-Semitism. But with this new distinction that is, again, very important for the right wing now, between non-Jewish Jewish people and religious Jewish people, because religious Jewish people are very right wing.
Yes.
And like they're the allies, but you still need Jewish people as this internalized threat and enemy that is like the lodestar of the, like, you know, the lodestar for like a kind of like anti-Semitic culture war about like they, you know, they control the media and like are degenerating our culture or whatever.
Yeah, it's the mutation of like the Zionist Jew versus the non-Zionist or ambivalent Jew.
Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same framework as
and
that.
So that way you can. You can inoculate yourself against accusations of anti-Semitism because you're like, no, I'm friends with, I'm actually considering myself quite close to many religious Jewish people, but the 90% of Jews in America who are generally secular, they're pigs and dogs.
But that's why I think it's a non-starter, is because the only guy who followed him was Jason Whitlock, who's like
the dumbest man on the planet.
He's like any
not bringing their best there.
He jumps on every stupid. He thinks every stupid thing is the next thing. He's like, oh, we're going to make an anti-woke Red Lobster on it. we're going to make a hospital that doesn't serve atheists on it. Like, he just, any non-starter, Whitlock's fat ass jumps on it.
Speaking of like similar to the anti-woke Red Lobster, did you see Kanye's friend Candace Owens shilling for like the anti-woke bank?
Yeah, it's already gone.
Oh, yeah, already collapsed.
And she was just like, "Watch out, Wells Fargo and Bank of America."
One of the things they were offering is they were going to offer debit and credit cards that were made out of the same material as pistol shell casings, like guns,
so
bullets.
That's awesome.
Like, just this is for babies. And apparently, though, oh, that doesn't actually work.
We're not actually scanning a credit card machine.
Doesn't go in the machine, you fucking morons.
Could you put like friends on your card?
I bet you could have a friends card.
A
friend card with little friends on the card.
That is worth it. Like not having FDIC.
Yeah,
that's worth it to me. Yeah,
I'm willing to take the gamble.
Yeah.
Imagine the bank is capitalized on NFTs completely.
That's my dream, is going to the grocery store at like 6 p.m. and holding up an entire line of single moms trying to put my gunmetal card in that won't scan. That has
run it again.
Yeah.
Run it again.
Yeah. It just has like fucking friends all over it.
It's
little grapers
for the spot so it gets stuck. Yeah. You try to pull it out. They got to get a pliers.
Just everyone's fucking hissing at me. Oh man. I wish it was real.
Back to the article. West meant DEFCON 3, the U.S. military's term for being halfway to a nuclear launch.
But also halfway from not having a nuclear launch.
Okay.
Perfectly positioned. He has had a busy time, beginning with wearing a White Lives Matter t-shirt at a fashion show in Paris last week. Some might think that a fashion show in Paris is exactly the right place to wear something daft and tasteless. But the slogan, the ADL says, is associated with white supremacists. West then went fully postal last week on Instagram to his 18 million followers and gave a two-part interview on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox. West told Carlson that Jared Kushner had manipulated Donald Trump and organized the Abraham Accords for personal advantage.
Lies here.
Yeah, he's got to sell buildings.
Yeah.
Got to sell some buildings.
I mean, yeah, that was a coincidence. That whole thing where they went into office with him having this gigantic zillion-dollar white elephant building, and then he's doing these accords.
666 Park
Avenue.
And
then all of a sudden, one of these Gulf hedge funds just fucking takes us off his hands. That's a coincidence? And what are you to come on?
Right. I mean, like, it would be disappointing if Jared Kushner did anything that wasn't in his personal interest.
Yeah, what else are you doing there?
Yeah.
Sticking to geopolitics, he said that the media want Lizzo, a portly flautist noted for showing her bottom in public.
A portly flautist.
To stay fat in the name of the demonic idea that stuffing your face is healthy. I mean, hasn't Kanye had, like, lipo done?
He's had some of the most
ever
done on a man.
The thing is, this is all how... It's all yelling into a mirror, and it's all narcissism. He's looking pretty swole these days himself. His neck is looking pretty fat. I think he might be feeling a little insecure.
I think the opposite. I think he looks, he got like facial micro lipo. That's what it looks like to me from the interview.
I guess I wouldn't know how to recognize facial micro lipo. I've never seen
it. Would you just compare it to older pictures of him? No, I noticed it. Okay.
Why do you think they would want to promote unhealthiness? Carlson asked as the host of the most popular cable show in America. He is as much the media as anyone is. It's a genocide of the black race, West explained. They want to kill us any way they can.
See, this is why he's gonna. This is where it could happen, because obviously you have to deracialize that, but and have to turn it into the greater, you know, narrative about culture destroying us. But it's that same activated paranoia on among Republicans that they're being sought for destruction for their identities, when in fact they are being immiserated universally by the relentless grind of capitalism. No, they don't want it. They don't want to genocide black people. But the thing that makes money involves pumping out as much fucking cheap calories as possible in a way that will guarantee that people get obese, and that their obesity is concentrated at the lowest levels of the socioeconomic level, which means it will concentrate around racial minorities and specifically black people. That is a guaranteed outcome of that result. But that's not the reason they're doing it.
Right, but they already did that.
Yeah.
They already pumped the poorest communities full of the worst food that wouldn't even be served to fucking pigs in the European Union. Mm-hmm. Everything else is post facto.
And yeah. then, like, you know, you can look at, like, health outcomes in this country and, like, begin to wonder why black men across the board have, like, the worst health outcomes in every fucking, like, yeah. stroke, heart disease, yeah. diabetes, like, yeah. you know, across the board.
Yeah, and it's just frustrating because we can't talk about the structures. We cannot talk about the reproducing structures that govern our lives, like the capitalist relations that make everything the way it is. We can only look at a culture that's coping with that and then decide that its signals are what's making us do it. So, like, even if you accept the notion that, oh, these ads are trying to make people say it's okay to be, that these ads are there to tell people it's okay to be fat, it's because, well, you know, if everyone's fat, why not make them not feel bad about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the impulse that governs everyone through that chain of thinking that gets to that. It's not, we want people to die. It's, well, look, they're dying anyway. Everyone's fat as hell anyway. We can't do anything about that.
Right, and
maybe we could make them feel better about it.
We're gearing towards a future where, like, only like the middle highest earners are not fat.
Yeah.
So we might as well like try this sort of half-baked combination of, like, academic and culture stuff where right. you get, like, the Nabisco professor of body positivity.
Oh, yeah, that
like,
was...
Yeah, writes yeah, research papers that are like, no, you naturally, like, want to fuck someone who's 700 pounds.
I gotta say, that was demonic.
Insane.
There's no such thing as good
company?
Or bad food.
Oh,
my fucking God.
And, like, look, yeah, in a moral sense, like, no. I don't
well,
think,
that's the
like,
thing.
Yeah.
Everything is conflated.
No, I don't think
one,
anyone's
yeah.
a bad person no. for being... Yeah, no, but, like... Yeah,
but there's a difference between food that is healthy and unhealthy in terms of, like, the nutrition it provides
your
body.
But our entire social order is reproducing things, us doing things that are bad for us.
Yeah.
If not just eating food, but voting, participating in society that is destroying the goddamn world. It's all bad for you. So I think, like, the thing that's what's frustrating is that there is an impulse among all of this racial panic and gender panic that generates these movements, a desire to, like, rip the VR headset off of us, basically. The recognition that, like, oh, like, all the things that we think are helping us cope with the world we're in are actually also, like, connecting us to it and making us unable to do anything else. So we got to, like, destroy it. But you can't, because it's set on top of a thing that generates it. And politics, the thing that politics is supposed to do, which is a disciplining structure that subordinates your basest instincts into, like, coordinated action towards a goal, not just getting your, relieving the sense of, like, anxiety that you have for living a life that is terrifying and alienating. No, directing that somewhere. That instinct is supposed to pull action towards the causes, towards the structures. But we don't have that political pull anymore. So everything is getting towards this frantic, culture-wide clawing away at, like, the goggles to try to get them off our face.
It's like if the They Live glasses, if you only saw, like, a half a layer deep.
Yeah,
if
exactly. You,
all the body positivity and, like, fat acceptance stuff, a lot of it is just, like, it immediately goes to, like, the moral idea, because
yeah.
that is the basis and only way that we can see things. Like, people are obsessed with calling media bad because they can't figure out if the protagonist is supposed to be good or bad immediately. With the obesity stuff, it immediately goes to, like, is an obese person a good or bad person?
Yes.
If you're on the other side of it, if you're on, like, the now politicized conservative side of it, it's like, no, you're a bad person. You're
yes.
a drug addict if you're obese.
Yes.
And the other side of it is going so far in the other direction. Not just are you not a bad person if you're obese, which is the base truth you're working with. you're a bad person if you don't become that, if you're not immediately desiring that.
Yes.
Like, if you don't think, if you think this is unhealthy or like fucked up in any way, if you point out that obesity rates have skyrocketed since the 90s, did everyone's genetics change if nothing's being done to the food?
Yeah.
Then you are a bad person. And that is the half a layer of illusion taken away.
Yeah.
Trying to look at it.
And then if you're on the other side of that, it's like, okay, then I'm a bad person according to you. I'm gonna have to flip your values because obviously they're wrong if I don't think I'm a bad fucking person because of that.
And
I'll be determined to be a villain.
And yeah, meanwhile, no one really talks about like what food companies do to our food.
No.
What, like, anything related to agribusiness.
Can't it's discuss
all just
it.
Yeah, it's all just, you know, what's in Sports Illustrated.
Yep, yep. What it's like, we are trying to determine like who's going to be like who is going to be the Lorne Michaels of America. Like, that's what we imagine we're voting on. It's like, who gets to program SNL each week? Who gets to put on things? And then we get to evaluate like an aesthetic assemblage, like fat and black or whatever and disabled. That's good. Or, you know, the old Aryan ideal is good. And then we're going to fight over what we should be watching every day.
Gambo.
We should be watching Gambo.
We should be watching Gambo. Folks, finally some Gambo happened.
I got to tell
you. Finally some Gambo's happening.
Since the time jumps, I'm enjoying that. Ever since they started jumping forward in time a lot, I'm getting more Gambo. There's more Gambo-esque hijinks.
Okay.
When that dude got his head cut off out of nowhere.
That was tight. Oh, yeah.
Matt, Chris, and I were all watching it. We all turned to each other. We got a Gambo has
That's
occurred.
Gambo.
A Gambo has finally occurred.
A wild Gambo has emerged.
Should I start watching it?
Yeah.
I mean, you love the lore, and there's tons of lore. Like, there's a little in-joke thing where, like, there's a line of potential suitors for the princess. And a young Blackwood and a Bracken get in a fight, and one of them kills the other one. It's like, hey,
okay.
We all love those feudant families from the Riverlands, the Brackens and the Blackwoods. We love them, folks.
That sounds good. I mean, I have to stop watching SVU. Yeah.
Are you watching like classic Christopher Maloney era?
Oh, of course.
Okay,
yeah, I'm not watching like the new guy
with Donald Logue.
The guy fucks Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
A lowly cop fucks her. Should be a New York Yankee or a prince. It's a fucking guy who makes $60,000 a year at most. Fuck you.
It'd be Aaron Judge.
Disgusting. Yeah, I hated it. Hated when they did that. Awful.
So you're transitioning from your white woman comedia consumption era when you were doing true crime YouTubes and Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
Just become a white woman.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm gonna get a dog, man. I'll be worried about you.
I think I'm gonna be trafficked soon.
Check your door handles when you go into the ball.
You saw that TikTok was so good. Okay, the zip tie on the side mirrors or the door handle—that's a classic one I heard before. But the new evolution of trafficking techniques that I was not aware of in this TikTok was putting some sort of like fentanyl pouch in the door handle. So when you touch it, you get like whoa, and you pass out or whatever.
Yep.
Man, imagine a squeegee guy accidentally touching the fentanyl part on your car
and just getting,
collapsing in the intersection.
Not getting collapsed and getting right for the day.
It's like, oh man, feeling great. He just whistles, walks away.
That's the funniest thing about like that fentanyl shit. It's like, wouldn't there just be like a million people dying every day if it just kills you on contact?
It's Havana
like
syndrome, baby. We have a collective Havana syndrome. What you want to call it? Anything you want to call it? Any name you give it, it's the same thing. The tendrils are buzzing with the coming apocalypse, but we have no cultural language to discuss that, so it gets suppressed and sublimated into physical symptoms and then narratives around those symptoms, and that's now our politics.
Yeah.
For podcasters, of course, the Havana syndrome is IBS.
Damn, it's true.
It do be true. Not me though. My totally BMs regular. My BMs are like a fucking Swiss watch.
Well, bully for you.
Mine have been really bad since the Ned Fulmer incident.
This is like when I told Cumtown I've never had erectile dysfunction or needed blue chews.
They're fun to take just sometimes.
I've never done it.
Yeah, it's, cool. It's like doing batting practice with a cork bat.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't see it. I will see it before the week is out, but there was the new SNL this season debuted Saturday.
Brendan Gleeson, right?
Yes, Brendan Gleeson, lovable Irish lug. I'm sure I'll enjoy it with quotation marks. But apparently there was a sketch about the Fry guys are on SNL. As a reference.
Yeah, no.
This is, you got to put the phones down and find out like what it's like to like go to a deli and think of something funny that happens in an interaction human life.
Imagine if you will, an adherent to the Bushido code of samurai, but he worked at a deli.
Yeah, see, now we're talking. What if your neighbors had large peaked heads and talked like robots? What if that was a thing? How would you deal with it? What if you opened the door one time and there was a shark? These are questions that you need to be asking yourself. You need to put on a fucking Doobie Brothers record, smoke some fucking Maui Wowie, nothing above mids, and just talk out the episode instead of putting your fucking Twitter screen next to your Netflix page and then destroying your brain with the most powerful THC ever devised. A fucking
Leave that to me.
Putting MK Ultra strain resins in your head and just watching your screen all week and then getting ideas out of that.
That's what I do.
Touch fucking grass. Seriously, the sketches could be about anything, man. You have to have it. Literally, they've never done anything else. They people writing for SNL now, they went from school to SNL, probably. Like, they went to school, then they went to, like, college. Maybe they did a couple years, but doing stand up and this shit.
See,
they never had a real motherfucking job.
I haven't either, obviously,
but it's like this has its own effects everywhere.
I perceive like a, you know, like you could say like, oh, like the weed's too strong now, but I perceive a similar shift in drug induced creativity in film and television that plays out according to the plot in SNL. The shift from cocaine, mm-hmm, classic era SNL,
yes,
where they were fucking doing races.
That's
down fucking
correct.
Desk tables. They were doing a yard of cocaine to Adderall.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah, like you have all the
it's okay. I got a prescription for this.
But none of the feelings of godlike euphoria.
Yeah, because it's not illegal. It's got to be illegal, baby. You got to have your PA go and meet a guy in the cafeteria at Rockefeller Center.
Back to the Kanye West article. West is now suspended from Twitter and Instagram for anti-Semitic statements. The president of Iran is still holding forth. So I had to get that in there.
They do love, like British Zionists love that, like being like, why does Khomeini still have an account?
Yeah.
Twitter's banned in Iran. How come this asshole has a Twitter account?
Yeah.
How's he to ban evasion of his own country?
You'd think that that would be part of the sanctions that we've had on that country since the hostage crisis, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be on our Twitter. What the fuck?
West is possibly under sedation, too. In 2016, he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder after being hospitalized. His manic outbursts have long been the subjects of cruel jokes. It is crueler still for Fox News to put on air as someone who is plainly ill. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like that really, really, really a real breach of morality from Fox News. Imagine if they put someone insane on television.
That's wild.
Yeah,
I like how that's what crosses the line from them.
Yeah, exactly. exploiting the mental illness of this entertainer for Tucker Carlson. Yeah, that's a bridge too far, Fox News.
Also, like crazy famous people like that. That's how they heal, is by going on TV. That's
why they go talk it out. It's therapy.
Yeah, they go on TV after they have an outburst.
Yeah.
Like my favorite TV appearance of all time, Michael Richards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with Jerry Seinfeld on the Tonight Show.
The Afro-American.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It is the funniest thing ever, maybe.
Fucking good.
Seinfeld is a piece of shit as a human, obviously. I mean, the fact that he collects cars is all you need to know. If you're a comedian who makes a bunch of money, if you're a kind of entertainer who makes a bunch of money, and then you're left with the existential question, what do I do with this giant pile of gold? The answer is buy a bunch of little cars. You're a fucking piece of shit. But nothing, and obviously the 17-year-old, the guy, he's dicey. But to me, the grossest thing he ever did was when fucking Kramer drops the N-word and then goes to apologize and starts talking about the Afro-American community.
Oh my God.
This asshole's going to yell at this crowd and say, it's not funny. Fuck off, dude.
That's funnier than anything Jerry Seinfeld has ever done on stage.
Ever done in his life. Yeah.
That was probably the greatest TV appearance of all time.
Yeah, you got to talk it out. And so I think if he gets a few more interviews, he'll like calm down again, but then it's going to get ramped up. Like, and we're all on a roller coaster. We're all living like by the whims of these guys at the top who are getting more and more normal every day.
Well, you do like interviews for celebrities are like detox. Like you start out on like a something close to what you get on the streets, which is Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
But then when you're like you're weaning off, you go with something light like Meredith Vieira. And we'll know he's cured when he's like doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, here's where we get into, you know, Felix called the shot early on, quite accurately. So here's where he gets into Roger Waters. Compare West to Roger Waters, who turned up over the high holy days in an interview with Rolling Stone magazine. Waters, who insists he has nothing against Jews, only the existence of Israel, said that British and American Jews bear responsibility for Israel's actions because they pay for everything.
I'm sure that's a very good faith reprint of what he actually said in the interview. I'm sure he said exactly that.
Roger Waters, who will always be a delusional bigot, but Kanye West, who has performed in Israel, will recover from his delusions and their bigotry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's why he's a good person. Okay.
I mean, that's the thing. As long as Israel is affirmed and can exist, then who gives a shit how anti-Semitic any particular person is outside of Israel? Because, oh no, they do anti-Semitism? What'll happen then? Jews come to Israel? Oh, we'd hate for that to happen.
Well, that's how you realize that they don't actually think Roger Waters is anti-Semitic. Otherwise, they would love it.
Exactly.
And also,
they want to scare the Jews out of the West to Israel to win the demographic war they're in.
Yep. I said the same with Katie Halper just last week. But yeah, like, and also though, if as long as you support Israel, you can say anything you want about Jewish people.
Absolutely. You're shaking the board towards the bottom. You know, you're getting all the crumbs together. But if you're against Israel, then they can't have a state. They can't have their nukes. They can't defend themselves against the rest of us.
He says he deserves a break. You could see the pain on his face as he told Carlson, if we saw ourselves as people and not a race, then we would treat our people better. That is the American problem in a nutshell. The road to rehabilitation is long. There will be meetings with rabbis, a trip to the Western Wall, and another high-profile interview to apologize about the previous one. If anyone can, Kanye can. Just ye watch.
Okay, so this is a question. Is that going to happen? Is he going to do the full walk back? Because if he's going to get healed, he's going to have to do something publicly to exemplify it. Does he have to go to Israel? Does he have to go to the Wall?
If he does do it, it is going to be couched in that.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, look, I like Israel.
Yeah.
And then maybe he is running for president.
Hmm. We'll see. Yeah. So if he is able to accept that those terms, then we might be seeing the stirrings of the next link in the chain.
Damn, I feel like Black Hitler.
You know what? I wish I could find the best screenshot ever of the guy going like, everyone Google this. We're the real Jews. And then the first comment under his Facebook status is, can you just like come pick up your daughter? Because that really is, it's a microcosm of what's going on here.
I think we need some more lost tribes of Israel.
Yeah, we need to go out and find some more.
The Irish.
Some have claimed.
I've heard that some one. Yeah. I don't really
There is also
it.
The Anglos. The Anglos
our
claim.
Our friend L. Ron Mexico said the Cajuns were also a lost tribe of Israel.
You have to, I don't know, you have to get real at some point.
The Anglo-Saxons claim that too, that they're a lost tribe. And of course, the Mormons believe that the Indians are the tribe of Israel.
Okay, at this point, it's like there are more people who are Jewish than are not.
Yeah. Well, that can solve anti-Semitism.
You know Chinese, what, honestly, the Chinese?
Okay.
Lost tribe of Israel?
I honestly have never heard the Han put forward as the lost tribe of Israel, though. That's a good one.
Got to get those numbers up.
The only people...
They're going to have to find some more lost tribes if they want to, keep it going.
The only people who both, like, have never claimed this and, you know, I could actually see would be the Basques. Mm-hmm. Because, like, no one knows where they came from.
It's true. They got the language.
Yeah, that language, it's out of nowhere.
Yeah, no other connections. It's very interesting.
No Indo-European roots.
Yeah.
Their language is awesome.
Yeah.
They put X's wherever.
They go ham.
I
go ham with them X's. They got the little guy, the divot guy above the eye. Like, oh, it's like, oh, you thought there'd be a dot? Wrong, bitch. It's a tiny little U. Well, I, for one, welcome the Kanye Imperium. I think it's going to be awesome.
I'll wear
those stupid foam insulation shoes.
Okay. Look.
Like and the tracksuit, I'll be fine. I'll have a great time.
People get very sensitive about music. So I'll just say this. Can we agree that his clothes and shoes are like the shittiest thing anyone's ever created? Like the ugliest clothes and shoes anyone has ever conceived of.
They look bad, I gotta say.
They look like shit.
I probably like his music, you know, more than anyone out of the three of us, but like his clothes suck shit. They're fucking terrible. They look like shit that they wore on the ship in The Matrix.
Wear it to the rave.
Yeah.
We're into the God. Zion rave.
Yeah, just dog shit. And I liked a lot of Donda, but the shoes are stupid.
I'm going to get a pair in anticipation so that when the Pol Pot regime comes in there and they're shooting anybody who's not wearing Yeez, I'll be okay. It's an all hype beast army. Bunch of just decked out clods.
Might have the long knives, but for Gap executives.
Yep.
I think Mandy Moore would beat him in an election.
Mandy Moore.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Well, she's on This Is Us, right?
She's on This Is Us.
See, the thing is, they need a celeb, and the problem is they can't get one. And they're not raising one in time, and it's a catastrophe. Like, they need Matthew McConaughey yesterday, or The Rock. They're really in trouble. They need someone to answer that. They need someone to answer Kanye, because it's Mandy Moore.
Why Mandy Moore?
Where are you getting Mandy Moore from?
She's on This Is Us. She's a woman. And like she always seems to be just be in this like pleasant haze.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kanye's up there just like screaming about like whatever topic he's on by that election, you know, where
see, if we did have a socialist movement in this country with any kind of organizational institutional heft, it would be Marianne Williamson. But sadly, we don't live in that world. So we're going to get some like off brand Hollywood Hillary. It's not going to be good.
What about Taylor Swift running against Kanye?
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah would be she's the closest to like a Democratic.
I think it's Oprah, really.
Yeah, maybe. What about Dianne Feinstein? I think she's still got room for one last job.
Honestly, that would make
that
sense.
That would still be so.
I mean, that is
good.
The next step from like Biden. If it's just the continuing dissolving of the Democratic Party to its pure machine parts. Then who's next? Nancy Pelosi? Would she have to be the next candidate?
You have to
an exoskeleton?
You have to admit it would be really funny if Kanye lost by like 9 points to Dianne Feinstein. And then she just fucking dies.
We're like, look, I just didn't think I didn't think Yeezus was a banger. I'm sorry. Not voting for him. I'm voting for Mecca Feinstein.
I honestly think Christ is King foreclosed any possibility of him ever being president. I really do. I do.
All right. Well, I hope we can find our place in the Kanye regime.
I'm already preparing myself.
I'm sorry for going to Virgil Abloh's party and ruining it. All right. Till next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Plug the dates.
Oh yes.
Plug the dates.
Okay. If you didn't get a chance to see us in LA, you'll still have two opportunities to see us this Friday, the 14th. We are in the Town Hall Theater in New York. That's right, Chapo on Broadway.
On Broadway.
And then the week after that, we're going to be at Revolution in Fort Lauderdale. Musical guests in New York will be 95 Bulls and Donzie in Fort Lauderdale. Very much looking forward to those.
Donzig? Oh, wow.
So last two dates on our fall tour, Chicago and LA, have been fucking awesome. Really looking forward to New York and Fort Lauderdale.
On a bit of a pedantic note, these shows have been great, but we got a lot of stuff to get through. We got the band is not really an opener. They're just playing a few songs and they play later. So don't show up like 30 minutes late thinking you're going to skip the opener. If you're not there like by 10 minutes after the show starts, you're going to be missing significant portions of the show. So show up on time for these.
If you don't show up on time, you should kill yourself.
Chris is going to find you and spank your bottom red, bright red.
That's an incentive for people to show up.
That's true. Never mind. No, he's never going to do that.
I will withhold the spankings.
He's holding the spankings. Spankings for prompt boys only.
Instead of doing a signing line, everybody who's there like 5 minutes before the show starts, I will do a spanking line instead afterwards.
That would take so long.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.